Moving forward, we are now that we have understood what long short strategy are, and now we are here to clear more concepts on different approaches taken by the fund managers and fund houses. One of them being the rise of quant investing in India. So, as we all know that algorithms like machine learning and artificial intelligence have become global buzzwords, influencing almost every industry and alerting our perceptions, altering our perceptions of human-machine interface in the country. However, considering the use of these machines, interactive languages in a market like alternative investment funds and portfolio management services, or as well as mutual funds, which is primarily reliant on human judgment, almost seems exaggerated. But today, AI and machine learning are now being used in the alternate investment funds and portfolio management services in the forms of quant funds. So now let's deep dive into the rise of quant investing in India with market expert Mr. Saurabh Mukherjee, founder and chief investment officer at Marcellus Investment Managers. Let me take a moment to introduce Marcellus. Marcellus' purpose is to make wealth creation simple and accessible by being trustworthy and transparent capital allocators. Their quantitative framework, which is to use a combination of forensic accounting and capital allocation assessments, define their investable universe. Their experienced investment team, through in-depth primary research, and constructs a portfolio of companies with deep competitive moats. Let me also take a moment to introduce Mr. Saurabh Mukherjee. Saurabh was educated at London School of Economics, where he learned BSc in Economics. He's also an MSc in Economics. In London, Saurabh was the co-founder of Clear Capital, and in 2007, he was rated by Extel Survey as one of the top small cap analysts in the UK. In India, Saurabh was rated as the leading equity strategist in 2015, 16, and 17 by Asia Money Poll. Prior to setting up Marcellus, Saurabh was the CEO of Ambit Capital. Saurabh is a founding director of Association of Portfolio Managers in India, a trade body. He continues to be a part of multiple SEBI working groups whose role is to review and reform the rules governing to portfolio management in India. So, my dear investors, now I'll be handing over the mic to Mr. Vikas Agarwal, who will in turn be handing over the mic to Mr. Saurabh Mukherjee. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pragya. Hello, Saurabh. How are you?
Hi, Vikas. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting our request and agreeing to speak to our investors. And, I want to thank ET Partners, because your media partner, ET Markets, because they gave us this opportunity to reach out to more number of people. And you also accepted a request. So idea is to talk about quant investing, how it is rising in India. So would you like to share any presentations
Sure, yeah.
or
Sure. So let me use these slides just to
So
talk.
you need to go to present, and then once
Can
you click on
you see my screen?
that, one second, yeah, I can see
Yeah,
your
you can see
screen.
my screen, right? And because how much time do I have?
Yeah, so we have 25 minutes,
Okay.
and then if you allow us, we'll ask you one or two questions post
Okay.
that.
So
So
yeah, so let me
overall
take
duration.
25 minutes just to talk through why we in Marcellus 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we built a quant team, and over the last 6 months, we brought a quant product to the market, both as a PMS and as an investment advisory offering on wealth desk and small case. So why did we do that, right? So the background is this, right? In the 1980s, the decade in which I grew up, the country was very different. Those of you who remember the 80s will know we used to have antiquated cars, antiquated phones, TVs. It was a poor country. It was a slow growth country. If I think back to the 80s, we used to lose almost every cricket match we used to play, barring the World Cup in 83. It was a disastrous decade for sport. And the sorts of
Sorry to
companies.
disturb, Saurabh. Sorry, your voice is not clear. Can you be a little bit louder, please, if you don't mind?
Okay, look, I'm as close to the machine as I can be. Is this any better?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
so we used to lose almost every cricket match. The sports ke taraf se was a disastrous decade, and that was a different India. And the sorts of companies that dominated the stock market then, you can see it on that list, right? It's astonishing for me that a fertilizer company was amongst the largest companies in the country then. People making clothes and t-shirts were also amongst the largest company. It was a poor, backward, slow growth economy, right? If you fast forward quickly, India today is a dynamic economy. India today stands where America stood a year ago. We've had a decade of rapid joining up of the country. Highway network has doubled, airline network has pentupled, bank accounts have trebled, 50x growth in broadband connectivity. And much like what America went through a century ago, as the country gets networked, the economy consolidates. Each sector rolls up, each sector gets consolidated into the hands of one or two companies. I've given you the names of some of the American consolidators. For example, the entire tomato ketchup industry in the space of 50 years was gobbled up by Heinz. The entire breakfast cereals industry was gobbled up by Kellogg's. Exactly the same thing is happening in India. A handful of Indian companies are gobbling up sectors in India. So, you know, whether it's in paints, it's in adhesives, it's in pipes, in jewelry, in banking and financial services, this country is consolidating rapidly, right? And the reason for the rapid consolidation, right? The reason that the network, the joining up of the economy is happening so fast is, first off, we've had more infrastructure construction in the last 10 years than in the previous 60 years put together, right? And we've discussed this in other presentations, so I'll just quickly touch upon it in summary. The doubling of the highway network, the pentupling of the airline network, the tripling of the banking system, right? Dramatic improvements in infrastructure. The more you improve infrastructure, the more you join up a country, the lower the chances of a small local or regional player surviving. Naturally, national giants survive. Secondly, we've reformed the tax system. Both direct taxes and indirect taxes have radically been overhauled in the last 5 years. No other large economy has reformed its tax system as radically as India has done. And what that is doing is it's crushing the black economy, right? Compliance is improving. You can see from the government's own tax collection data that central government taxes to GDP is running at an all-time high. And small businesses are shutting down by the lakhs. The official data on the Ministry of Corporate Affairs website is around 8 lakh small businesses shutting down every year. I reckon the sort of unofficial figure will be 2 to 3x that. As these chota businesses die, naturally the market share migrates. Say in the case of the jewelry sector, the market share migrates to a Titan. In the case of the paint sector, the market share migrates to a Asian Paint. So radical tax reform driving the destruction of chota businesses, right? Third is banking reform, right? Till 2015, 2016, our banking system was properly broken with almost 8-9 years of high NPAs. Over the last 7-8 years, through regulatory reform, specifically the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, and secondly, through massive infusions of capital, we've repaired the banking system. The Indian banking system in terms of tier one capital is the strongest in the world, amongst the big economies, right? And finally, the digital piece, which you'll be reading about every day, I'm sure. What we have built in the digital ecosystem is unique. Neither America, nor China, nor Europe has built anything comparable. And the rise of Aadhaar, the rise of UPI, the rise of ONDC, right? These are unique events. It's transforming the way many of India's leading companies do business. Many of India's leading companies' strongest drivers of growth now is the digital legs. So whether it is, say, investments of ours like HDFC Bank or a Bajaj Finance or an Asian Paints or a Titan or a Dr. Lal PathLabs, the critical driver has become the ability to use India's unique digital ecosystem. I stress again, there is nothing like this in any other country on scale and in technology, and it's driving rapid digitization of the country. It's again killing the small company. The result of all this is, you can see in the bottom left chart, the result is rapid consolidation of corporate profits. So if you see the black line in the bottom left chart, the black line is the share of profits accounted for by the 20 largest companies. Profit share of the 20 largest companies. That number at the turn of the century was around 40%. That number is now, as you can see, pushing 90%, right? 20 large companies accounting for 90% of India's profits. Now, what this does is very interesting, right? The stock market is not able to discount fully this sort of rapid change. And this is where quant investing starts becoming very relevant, very interesting. Right now, how do we know that the stock market is not being able to discount fully this sort of rapid change, right? There's a simple way to figure this out. What we did was, and we did this exercise for the first time 2 years ago, that's when we decided to build the quant team. We have since then repeated this exercise several times. 2 years ago, we said, let's take data for the last 20 years. Each year for the last 20 years, let's identify the companies that in the preceding year were above average on ROCE, return on capital employed, and above average on reinvestment rate. Reinvestment rate basically is a measure of growth. Reinvestment rate in technical terms is cash flow from investing divided by cash flow from operations, right? How much of its surplus is a company pumping back into the business, right? So every year for the last 20 years, we identified the companies which were above average on both of these counts, high ROC, high reinvestment, right? So let's take an example. Suppose back in 2003, we identified 20 such companies, right? We then said, how did these companies that we identified, the superior companies from 03, how did they do over 5 years, 10 years? Right? What was their performance, right? We then repeated the exercise with companies, the superior companies from 04, then next year, the superior companies from 05. And what you can see in that, in the right-hand side bars, the bars that I've highlighted in that red dashed box, what you can see is that if you keep identifying superior companies, their cash flow compounding, their free cash flow compounding, their ability to grow the business is around 22%. But we can also see the stock market is not fully rewarding these companies. Stock market is saying these companies' share prices should be going up by 16%. So full 6 percentage points ka alpha to be had. Companies are, these superior companies are growing at 22. Stock market is saying their share price is growing at 16, right? In contrast, if you take the rest of the BSE 500, the bottom layer of bars on this chart, the rest of the BSE 500, the bars are the other way around. Their free cash flow growth is only 9%. Their share prices are rising by 14%, right? So this paradox, the fact that superior companies that are consistently growing cash faster, their share prices are not appreciating as fast, whereas more mediocre companies are seeing their share prices grow faster than their growth. This is something that quant investing helped us catch. And then we built an algo called MeritorQ to profit from this, right? So how does MeritorQ work? What is the quant algo that we use here, right? So there's a huge amount of coding behind it. We're using Python here. We're using something like 5,000 sets of annual reports here. What exactly are we doing? There's five elements to the quant checklist that the Marcellus team has built. Firstly, as you'd expect, we're looking for clean accounts, right? We have a bunch of forensic accounting rules. We code that in, and we're looking for companies that pass those forensic accounting rules basis the code that has been written by our quant team, right? Secondly, we're looking for companies that are low leverage. So the first step is you've got to be clean. Secondly, your debt equity ratios have to be low. Thirdly, you have to be consistently profitable, right? I've spoken repeatedly about the necessity of investing in companies with consistently good return on capital, right? And the next leg, now that we've identified that you're a clean company, you have low leverage and you're consistently profitable, the next leg is we look at relative to the free cash flows that you generate, what is your share price? So we're looking for companies that are undervalued on price to free cash flow. And the higher the price to free cash flow, the lower the allocation and vice versa, right? If you're a clean, well-run, highly profitable company with a low price to free cash flow, we allocate more. This is the core of the MeritorQ algo that we run both in PMS and in investment advisory. Right? We went live with the algo 5 months ago. So the live performance results are nothing much to write home about. We are mildly ahead of the benchmark, but the 16-year back test, 2006 onwards, is in front of you. If you take the 16-year back test, this algo has produced returns which are around 21-22%. I would stress these are gross of fees. Net of fees, the returns will be around 20%. So over the last 16 years, you're generating gross returns of 21.8%. Where are we getting those returns from? If you start from the top of the funnel, if we had just invested in the BSE 500 equal weighted over the last 16 years, we would have still compounded at a decent rate. 7.9% is similar to the Government of India bond yield, right? That's the BSE 500 equal weighted return. As soon as you add the forensic screen is to weed out companies doing naughty things with their accounts. As soon as you add that, the return jumps from 7.9, it jumps to 13.5. And that's the first layer of quant coding here. You're adding a forensic screen coded into Python. You're adding thousands of annual reports, but it's not a human being reading the annual report. The machine is reading the annual reports, and you're improving the return to 13.5%. After that, you're then saying, I want companies with low leverage and consistently good return on capital, consistently good profitability. Return jumps from 13.5 to 18.3. And then you bring in the price to free cash flow layer. I want companies which are attractively valued on price to free cash flow. Return jumps from 18.32 to 21.8, right? What I find so fascinating in this process, and it's been an eye-opener for me, is even though the leverage and profitability layer, the price to free cash flow layer is enhancing return, the biggest return enhancer is forensic screening, right? Because our market still has so many naughty companies, eliminating the naughty companies using quant techniques is a major booster of returns. You jump from 7.9 to 13.5. So 5.6%, 5.6 percentage points boost to returns, right? And just to sort of again summarize the whole process, you're starting the screening process with accounting. You're moving on to low financial leverage, good profitability. You're then going on to a screening basis profitability. And finally, your position sizing basis, attractive price to free cash flow valuations, right? The semi-annual rebalancing. So let me dwell a little bit on that. Every six months, you're rebalancing the portfolio. Why are we rebalancing the portfolio every 6 months? Because say at the end of the financial year, at the end of say FY23, which is around about now, we launch say a fresh portfolio basis the FY23 financials, FY23 annual report. We launch a fresh portfolio. Come September, October, the share prices would have moved by then. And therefore, back 6 months hence, we will load up further. We will increase our position sizing further in good companies whose share prices have gone down. We do this in our qualitative PMSs anyway. As many of you know, last year when, say, Dr. Lal Path Labs fell by 50% in the first 6 months of 2022, in July, we doubled the position. Similarly, in MeritorQ, every 6 months, share prices which go down, companies whose price to free cash flow goes down, we increase the position. Companies whose price to free cash flow goes up, we reduce the position, right? In MeritorQ, the quant algo does it. In our qualitative portfolios, the human beings are our qualitative fund managers do it, right? Now, I'll come back to the results again, right? I showed you the results two slides ago in raw returns, right? 7.9, 13.5%, 18.3% going down all the way to 21.8%. This was the raw returns. But actually, a better way to think about quant investing is risk-adjusted returns. You take the returns, you divide them by volatility, you divide them by standard deviation, because risk and return are two sides of the same coin. So if you look at risk-adjusted returns without any quant algo, if you were to buy the BSE 500 equal weighted over the last 16 years, you end up with very poor returns. You end up with 0.33, which means for every unit of risk you're taking, you're getting only 0.33 units of return. So every unit of risk, you're only getting 0.33 unit of return. As soon as you bring forensic into the picture, the risk-adjusted return doubles to 0.63. You then bring in profitability and leverage into the picture, you hit the one number. This 1.02 is important because for the first time, you're now getting more returns than you're getting risk. Then you bring in price to free cash flow and you position size basis price to free cash flow and you jump to 1.23. Right? So what quant is allowing us to do is systematically use finance tools, use big data, use Python, instantly gives superior risk-adjusted returns. And as I said, it's available both in PMS form and in investment advisory form. In PMS, obviously, as is the SEBI's rule, the minimum is 50 lakhs. But in investment for advisory form through small case and wealth desk, we've been able to get the ticket size down to as low as 2 lakhs. So this is the first time Marcellus has been able to create a product that the small investor with a few lakhs to invest can avail of. So I'll stop my presentation there. And Vikas, I'll hand over to you if you have any questions for me.
Right. So, thank you, Saurabh. Great to learn more about MeritorQ. So first question is, while you are open to balance the portfolio, which is your consistent compounder, any point of time, as in even on a monthly basis. Whereas in Meritocure, you are doing it semi-annually. So don't you
Yeah.
think, how does it work? Don't you think in the quant strategy, this is delayed, like 6 months is quite some time.
So look, I mean, because it's quant, you could argue we could do it every month, right? But if we do it every month, there's two problems. One is the investor has brokerage expenses to pay for. He has taxes to pay for. Because remember, if you, the more you rebalance the portfolio, the more you will churn. The more you will churn, the more broker will, the more the broker will make money from our client. And secondly, the more the client will get hammered on short-term capital gains tax. Right? So if you churn a portfolio too much, you are reflecting the latest data, that's great, but you are hammering the client through brokerage and capital gains tax. But if you don't rebalance the portfolio for say months on an end, you're being negligent because there could be new information that should be reflected in the portfolio. So back testing this across various periods of rebalancing, we tried monthly rebalancing, we looked at quarterly rebalancing. You realize that 6 monthly rebalance is the best balance. Six monthly is the ideal period. Jada bhi nahi hai, kam bhi nahi hai. You do it monthly, it's excessive. Now, in call investing, in qualitative investing, because this isn't a challenge because our portfolios are low churn, right? So our say a portfolio like CCP, churn is around 10%, right? So saal
Oh.
mein ek stock khareedte hain, saal mein ek stock bechte hain. So the churn is moderated there. The client does not end up enriching the broker or the tax man. Quant mein wo karna possible nahi hai. Every time you hit the rebalance button on quant, the portfolio churns say 20-30%. And if you do that every month, 20-30% portfolio ko ghumaoge, client ka brokerage aur tax se barbaadi ho jata hai. So therefore, we decided in quant that every 6 months we will press the rebalance button. The client will get a refreshed portfolio. So in the investment advisory format, Vikas, the client gets offered the refreshed portfolio. The client might say, "Mere ko nahi lena. I don't want to refresh it." In which case, the client carries on with the old portfolio. A suggestion, a recommendation to the client is, please take the refreshed portfolio. It will help you improve your returns.
Otherwise, the whole objective is beaten up, then there is no point
हाँ जी,
doing
बिल्कुल
this.
यार, agree with you, yeah. But you never
Because
know,
if
right?
you
Some people believe that they are Warren Buffett reborn. So some people believe they can do it better. So in investment advisory, the client has that prerogative because it's his account. He's managing it. We are simply giving him a portfolio to the best of our abilities.
right. Second question, Saurabh, at an investor level, let's say he has 50 lakhs rupees and he wants to give mandate to Marcellus, and he's got an option of both CCP and Meritocure. Which one do you suggest? Or rather, let me put it this way, what kind of investor should invest in the quant strategy?
So look, returns for, so if I look at CCP, we've been looking after it now for CCP, we've been running for now the best part of 6 years. तो नेट ऑफ फीस सीसीपी का रिटर्न आया है 18-19%, राइट, ओवर अ 6 ईयर हराइजन 18-19%. मेरिटोर क्यू नेट ऑफ फीस इज ऑल्सो गोना एंड अप इन दैट सॉर्ट ऑफ विसिनिटी, राइट. सो सीसीपी एंड मेरिटोर क्यू फॉर पीएमएस क्लाइंट्स, योर एक्सपीरियंस इज सिमिलर. वेयर द टू प्रोडक्ट्स आर डिफरेंट इज मेरिटोर क्यू पोटेंशियली विल हैव लोअर ड्रॉडाउन्स, राइट. सो सीसीपी, बिकॉज इट्स 15 स्टॉक्स, वेरी कॉन्सेंट्रेटेड, एंड एज आई थिंक यू नो विकास, and as I'm sure your clients in AIF PMS also know, CCP is very concentrated and it's very high quality, and we don't spend too much time thinking ki price to free cash flow kya hai, kya valuation hai. Focus bahut heavily quality ke upar hai. The result of that is you end up with the sort of drawdown we've had in CCP in the last 12 months. We're down 14%. CCP companies' profits are up 25% last 12 months, lekin share price down 14%. And a lot of people have heart problems in our country. They tend to get scared when the portfolio falls 14%. Meritocure avoids that. Meritocure has 40 stocks, 40 stock in comparison to CCP ka 14. CCP is 14 stocks, Meritocure is 40 stocks. Not only does Meritocure have more stocks, it also has price to free cash flow as a critical driver, which means that you don't end up buying very high price stocks and therefore your drawdown is lower. So both portfolios will give you long-term returns in the high teens, I reckon, right? Historical experience suggests that both portfolios should give you long-term returns in the high teens. That's been the historical experience. I stress again, CCP last 12 months has been minus 14, but CCP over a 6 year period, we've seen high teens. But the difference is Meritor Q is a smoother ride, fewer drawdowns. CCP is a little bit more dramatic, right? If you want better returns than high teens, then the best we can offer you is Little Champs. Little Champs is a small cap product. It is now approaching 4 years in age. And over that 4 years, our net of fees, it's ended up compounding in the low 20s. Right? That doesn't mean it will compound in the low 20s in future, but typically a high quality small cap portfolio in India, gives returns a little bit superior to large and mid cap portfolios like CCP and NightOQ. We hadn't taken money in Little Champs for a long time. A couple of months ago, we opened up Little Champs for flows. CCP is large cap, Little Champs is small cap. CCP has no exit load. Little Champs does have a 3% exit load in the first year, 2% in the second year, 1% in the third year. So if you're happy with high teens returns and you don't want any exit entry load, consider CCP or MeritorQ. MeritorQ will give you less heartburn, I think. And if you want a little bit better returns and you're willing to live with the illiquidity of small cap, then consider Little Champs.
One question, Saurabh, from one of our investors. So he gets confused between Rising Giant and Little Champ and keep asking me, like, one is invested in the mid cap space, the other one is small, but the mid cap also has few small cap in it. So which one? So from a risk point of view, can you throw some more light?
Yeah, so let's get into that. So let's take it step by step. So CCP typical market cap is $40 billion, right? CCP 14 stocks, 14 stock typical market cap 3 lakh crore ke aaspaas, right? Little Champs is the bilkul ulta. Little Champs market cap is around $1 billion, right, which means 8000 crore. Rising Giants is in between these two. Rising Giants ka typical market cap is $4 billion, which is around 30,000 crores, right? Rising Giants typical market cap is 30,000 crores. Little Champs is 1/4. Little Champs market cap is 1/4 that of Rising Giants. Now they have some stocks in common. They have some stocks in common, but 70% of Rising Giants is 70% of the Rising Giants stocks are completely distinct from the Little Champs stocks. So, for example, Cholamandalam Finance and Divi's Lab are in Rising Giants. Cholamandalam Finance and Divi's Lab are high quality mid cap companies. Chola and Divi's Lab are obviously not in Little Champs. Similarly, Moltec Packaging is in Little Champs. Moltec Packaging is a chota company, high quality chota company, dominant small niche player. Moltec Packaging is not in Rising Giants. Rising Giants market cap is 4 times that, 4 guna that of Little Champs.
Understood. I'll take last question. One of the investors is mentioning that it's, you know, better to focus on short term when you are running quant. And both Mr. Munger and Warren Buffett said that. And in the long run, the same gets breakdown. Would you like to take this question?
I mean, look, I don't think in India it's ever good to focus on the short term. If you focus on the short term in India, your broker gets rich, and the taxman gets rich, and you'll be impoverished. So I think the Kamats of Zerodha, they've been very vocal about this. I think it's good, and it's all credit to the Zerodha people for being vocal. So the Kamat said, I think there was a tweet from one of the brothers 3 months ago saying 99% of Zerodha clients make no money. And then also last month, Vikas, SEBI published analysis that 90% of FNO clients make no money. Now, I was a little surprised by this because everybody I meet who does this short-term trading, they tell me ki bahut paisa ban raha hai. Right? I've never met a short-term trader who says, main nahi kama raha ho. So I was stunned to hear that Zerodha mein 99% of people don't make any money. And I was stunned to hear from SEBI that 90% of FNO traders don't make any money. But, you know, if authorities of like SEBI and Zerodha are saying this, I think we have to take it seriously. So anybody who's listening to this program and they fancy themselves as a good short-term trader, the data suggests that it's tough to make money in the short run. And I certainly have no ability. None of the 120 people in Marcellus have any ability to make money in the short run using quant, call or astrology. A lot of people use astrology as well for short-term trading.
Right, Saurabh. In fact, I just want to add here, this is not a pure quant per se, which is like every day kya ho raha and on basis that the investment is done. Here, basic fundamental is the foundation is pure fundamental, and then on top of that, every 6 months, the rebalancing is taking
place. So it's a good point you make. That sort of, you know, day-to-day trading quant, no, wo America se India aaya hai. I think that's a deadly thing in India. It doesn't work. Hamare desh mein liquidity nahi hai stocks mein. Right, we barely have 30 stocks with decent liquidity. Right, secondly, hamare desh mein price impact cost and brokerage costs are high. And thirdly, we have very high short-term capital gains tax. So this American style quant, which is high frequency trading, a lot of people in India seem to be getting attracted to it. A lot of people, especially with engineering and maths backgrounds, because in engineering math backgrounds, they find they have a natural affinity for numbers. I've met many of these over the last 4 or 5 years. Very bright people with often with IIT backgrounds, strong mathematical and computer skills. They tend to get very sucked into this, very inspired by American trading. But India mein nahi kar sakte. Liquidity nahi hai India mein. Tax rates are very high in the short run, and brokerage costs are high. Which is why our style of quant trading is 6 mahine mein ek baar trade karo. Rest of the time, strengthen your algos, improve your coding, and make sure that the signals on which you're rebalancing every 6 months get stronger and stronger. Effectively, you're doing consistent compound of the little champs, but with Python coding rather than with a human being.
Thank you, Saurav, for clarifying the positioning of the fund, which was more important. The way people look at it and start making perception about it, you know, that this quant aisa nahi hai, day to day nahi ho raha, monthly nahi ho raha, and all that. So, you know, I think it was good that people now get to understand the clear-cut positioning of the fund. So with that, we'd like to conclude the session here. Thank you, Saurav.
Thank you, Vikas. Thank you very much. Thank you, ARPMS. Very kindly.